congratulations. This isn't your first sort of classical album. There have been others with orchestra, but this is the first to sort of go a little more intimate. How is it to work with the Carducci Quartet?
Well, it is working with the classical string quartet is, you know, it's a very focused, a very exposed music form. And although I've worked in the past many times with string quartets and symphony orchestras in the context of plus band or band plus string quartet, this was an attempt to really focus on the more delicate intimacy of the string quartet with a little addition from me to demonstrate that music and its essential elements of rhythm and harmony and melody can cross genres. They can wear a new musical suit of clothes and find themselves in a different context. I mean, I think you can do that most of the time with most kinds of music with some degree of success. And it depends really, I suppose, on perhaps the origin music. I mean, there are some things that would be quite difficult, some classical pieces that would be difficult to turn into a rock number. And there are some pieces of rock music that you couldn't really put in an orchestral or a classical traditional context musically without them sounding perhaps very banal and repetitive. So you've got to try to put your thinking cap on and come up with ideas. Sometimes there wasn't the need really to make any radical changes, but on other songs they had to be a little bit more creatively approached to give them some credibility when wearing the string quartet outfit.
And not only are there some just gorgeous changes in the music and different sides, I was really struck by the sort of ingenuity with the titles, and they're very incredibly clever. Was that something you had a hand in as well?
Well, yes, indeed. But I did that for a rather pragmatic reason, which was that the confusions of mechanical royalties when it comes to making sure the right people get paid, well, and of artist royalties as well, making sure the right people get paid. And when you're re-recording a piece of music that's perhaps a well-known piece from early albums, you've got to make sure that the royalties are directed to the right people. And so I gave these rather cryptic alternative titles in order that the publishers and the record companies couldn't be, you know, sending large piles of dosh or even small piles of dosh to band members that, you know, from the 1970s or something, which might have made them happy, but wouldn't have made John O'Hara very happy, because he was so instrumental in the creation of these arrangements that, you know, he is the accredited receiver of royalties, both publishing and artist royalties for this particular record. So it was done for a very, you know, just a really boring reason, but in itself I tried to come up with titles that, you know, were not a million miles away from the originals, just for the fans to recognize what it was they were getting.
Right, and probably a little easier on their iPods. If you're going to listen to War Child, you're going to get Bungle and the Jungle, and this one, Bungle, a little different.
Well, that's right. I mean, I just shortened the titles in some cases to, you know, just make them a little obvious, you know. But whatever, it's not a really important part of the album, and it seems to have made an impression on some sector of our fan base. I noticed today in the Billboard charts, number one in the classical album chart is Jethro Tull, the string quartet, singular. It should be string quartets, plural, if we're observing the niceties of classical descriptive terminology.
Not only is it more intimate, but it's recorded. You know, sometimes if you're in a big stadium or large concert venue, this you recorded in churches, and I think it also adds to the intimacy. Is that again on purpose?
It added to the experience of recording, not in an acoustic sense, which you might think that I chose to do that because I was looking for a certain quality of sound. But you know, you can't record in the body of a cathedral with a string quartet without and capture any of the ambience of the building without it just being overwhelming because it's such a long reverberation time. We in fact recorded down in the crypt underneath the main body of the cathedral, which of course is open every day to members of the public without restriction, so you couldn't be making a record with the inevitable intrusions of people and the noise they make. And so we were down in the crypt. Luckily, they put a big sign up stopping people from going to visit the crypt that day, because I was coming back anyway a couple of months later to do a charity concert for Worcester Cathedral. So they, when I approached them to ask them if I could record there, they were bending over, if not backwards, at least at a serious slant in order to help me out. And then I found another couple of days in a tiny historic church in the other end of the ecclesiastical scale of architecture, a tiny little place in the wilds of the English countryside, again looking for somewhere private where we could not expect to be interrupted other than the inevitable passing aeroplane or dogs barking in the nearby village or whatever caused us on several occasions to have to stop and wait. But the atmosphere was more of a spiritual one, more of an intellectual and spiritual ambience that I think was important to making the record. And you know, I'm in and out of churches a lot anyway in my professional work, as well as just I like to visit churches and cathedrals when I'm traveling around the world. I'm not a, you know, I don't do this because I'm a true blue Christian, but because I have an interest in the architecture, the history, and the culture, and the part that Christianity plays in the modern world, albeit in a way rather different and very much reduced from how it was even, you know, 50 or 100 years ago in my country.
I guess I'd end asking two quick questions here. As I know you're getting ready to tour down under and around the world, you're going to get in our neck of the woods in August near Chicago and Michigan. Did these sort of different interpretations of some of your songs that you've been playing over 40 years, does that make a difference? Does that add a freshness to it? And I had to ask, did you make any of the violinists stand on one leg, or was there any fun in that sort of sense?
Well, the certainly it was a fun experience working with a group of musicians who were energetic, enthusiastic, and easy to work with, easy to talk to, and so that aspect was quite fun, yes. But we were working pretty hard on a very, very strict schedule to be able to record over 3 days to do the 12 pieces that we recorded. But I should make it very clear that when we come out on tour, as of next Sunday when I jump on a plane to go to Australia, that's not with the string quartet. This is the tours this year are all essentially rock tours. I think I have one in Red Rocks Arena near Denver with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra coming up in May, but apart from that, they're all rock shows and not a string quartet to be seen, because the Carducci guys and we were, well, there was just no mutually acceptable dates that we could work around to do a tour or even anything other than maybe one or two shows, which wouldn't really justify the rehearsal time and preparation time to do that. So we regretfully weren't able to organize any live performances that might come up sometime in the future, who knows, but certainly not in 2017.
All
so
right.
When we were out on tour in your neck of the woods or anybody's neck of the woods, it's very much Jethro Tull, the rock repertoire.
All right. Well, congratulations. This is lovely, and we hope that might come to fruition. But no matter what, you've left us some great performance here.
Great. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Terrific. Thank you. Good to talk to you. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.